start to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we projected, a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing our gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure and myrrh for the cross you suffer. Do you believe? Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me. Oh, all for me. All for all for me, all for you. How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Well, only one did that for me. Oh,
I'd ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. I'm the youth pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church, the youth minister, rather, and the church has always been so gracious. Pastor Justin was gracious to continue the tradition of allowing me to give the devotion at the end of this service, and it's just been a great treasure of my life. I would just say to you that I love the Christmas story from start to finish. And if you were to, I love the Christmas story just the way that it is written in the Bible, the way that it actually is in our lives. To tell a great story, sometimes you have to embellish it. Don't you know that? Anybody ever told a fish tale and the fish year by year by year got a little bit longer? Some of you guys have told a tale about a girl that winked at you and you said she was a 10 and maybe she was somewhere around a 7. You know you have, right? But where it comes to the Bible, there's just nothing that has to be added to it. Think about what the angel just straight out told the shepherds. You remember what he said? I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. He used the word tidings. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I tell you why I love that verse. I love that verse because I found that great joy. I really have. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But I'm so thankful that the angel said it's to all people. Because I'm not sure if it's true for you, but have you ever been overlooked? Anybody in here have ever been overlooked? Ever been not chosen? Have you ever had the experience that you weren't qualified for? I've never been cut from a team, but I know there were some teams I dreamed of playing on that I knew better than to try out for because I just was not good enough. And I would say to you guys that I do a lot of things with all my heart, but as far as I know, I'm not the best in the world at anything that I do. I'm literally, no matter what I look at in my life, I'm not the best. In fact, there are many, many people at everything I do that are much, much better than me, no matter how hard I try. But I'm so thankful the angel didn't say, I came for the best people. I come to the good people. I come to the qualified people. He said, I come to all people. I good news of great joy for all people. You know why? Because he said, unto you, your kids weren't born unto me. My kids weren't born unto you, but this child was born a Savior unto us, and he did bring great joy. I'm telling you, friends, God saved me from a life of selfishness. You don't know Brian Busby that well. I do. I could have been so selfish. I could have been so driven. God redirected my life. He saved me from a purposeless life, and he put in my life purpose and meaning. He paid for all of my sins. Do you know that my sins are separated as far as the east is from the west? Treasure of all treasure, Jesus Christ has given me everlasting life. Because of this gift, this I will be somewhere 100 years from now breathing. I will see you folks. Those of you have tried, as sure as I'm standing here today, I will be in heaven with you guys. Let me tell you something. 20 years ago, God did something very special. God called me into the ministry and God gave me a heart. TJ, do you remember when I was a 23-year-old house parent and I knew nothing? And you were a 12-year-old boy and you were just looking for your way through life. And I have no idea how he did it. But God gave me a parent's love for you, and God gave you a trust for me. Because of this gift, that relationship never has to end. Amen. I think of the people that have worked with me in the ministry. Dion, I wanted to talk to David Henderson. He's worked so hard at our Christmas tree lot. Jeff Hodges has been over there tying a million trees. Many of you have been there. Oh, we don't have time to hang out down here. We just don't. Miss Rich, you've been out there counting the money. Thank God it's you and not me, right? Miss Darlene, you're a treasure in my life. I tell you the truth, Melita, I don't know if God will give us 50, 60, 70, but it won't be near enough. But thank God, because of this gift, this is not the end. It's nowhere near the end. It's the beginning. This is a great gift, and it does bring great joy. I ask you guys to go with me to Luke chapter number 1, because I wanted to share with you just a little bit of the Christmas story as the Lord has asked me to. And in Luke chapter number 1, Luke starts out telling the story by saying lots of people have told the story. He does. The very first thing he says is many people have told the story. Verse number 2, he says that qualified people have told the story. Verse number 4, he said, the person I'm telling the story to, Theophilus, you have heard the story before. He starts out, lots of people told the story. Qualified people told the story. You've heard the story before. But in verse number 3, he says, but I need to tell the story again. I need to share the story. Will you look at it with me in verse number 3? He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And scholars disagree about what Luke was saying when he said, I'm writing so that you would know the certainty. Some scholars say he was saying so you would know the specific details, down to the minute details, the exact truth of how it actually happened. Other scholars think that he was saying so that you would know this part of the story, which would make sure you knew that this would verify for you that what you've been instructed on is true. No matter the case, whatever the case is that Luke's trying to say, he was saying to him, you need this story. You need these details. You need to understand what God has said in his life. And I'm so thankful he did, because I would just say to you, I need this story. You need this story. We need this story. And where would you start if you were to try to tell the story of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ in chronological order? Do you know where Luke started it? Luke started it with John the Baptist and his parents. And if you will, just allow me a little grace, let me read some verses to you. And I want to, as we dive into this, I want to say to you guys, as we begin to read, that the thing that God has really highlighted, the only point I have for you tonight, there's just one point, is that while the Christmas story is the greatest act of God, the greatest act of love, the greatest plan that was ever formed, it was carried into our world by the arms of obedient people. Did you catch that? The Christmas story, the great rescue story of God, was brought into our world by the arms of obedient people. And one by one, as God called on men and women to obey him and bring about the plan of God, literally as each one at a time, began to obey, a little more got unveiled of the Christmas story to the world. And as the next person obeyed, a little more got unveiled. And I would suggest to you guys that the other thing that you could follow along just a little bit, we don't have time to deeply dive tonight, is that they, as they obeyed, and we'll talk about them for a second, as they obeyed, not only did the Christmas story get unveiled to the world, but in their hearts, when they obeyed, they found the good tidings of great joy. And you will see it as we go through the story. Look at verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Hallelujah. There's somebody who's obeying. There's somebody that God can use. And the Bible says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Would you be scared if an angel popped up in your space? But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great." Watch what he says is going to happen with this baby. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The angel just said, "You're going to have a son, and he's going to be a humdinger of a mighty man before God." You recall Jesus Christ said of this guy, "There was none greater ever born of a woman." How do you think, if you didn't have the rest of the story, Zechariah would have reacted to it? Essentially, what I want you to catch is at this juncture in the story, the Bible is saying that God gave Jesus a forerunner, someone to come into the world to get the attention of Israel so that they would not miss the Savior. I would say to you, if I began to holler out tonight, "The pizza is coming! The pizza is coming! The pizza is coming!" You would think there's going to be some scrum delicious pizza coming in here, right? It would get your attention, right? Well, that's what John's job was. The Savior is coming! The Savior is coming! The Savior is coming! And then when he got here, you remember what he said? "Behold," right? Look, there he is, right? The Lamb of God. If you don't think that God wants your attention where Jesus Christ is concerned, can I remind you that when he was born, God put a star over where he was? Over here, over here. God dispatched angels to get the attention of shepherds. When Jesus Christ died, the veil in the temple got ripped in half. The earth quaked, you might recall. The Bible says in Matthew that dead people came back to life. Can I tell you something? If Uncle Pete comes strolling back in your kitchen a few days after death, that's going to have your attention, isn't it, right? God wanted our attention, and he sent this forerunner to the earth to make sure that we didn't miss Jesus Christ. But how is the story going to progress? Because do you recall anything that Zechariah was told to do? Did you catch it? He told him all this stuff is going to happen, and you've got one job. Do you remember what the first thing he said was? You're going to call him John. Did you catch that? You're going to call him John. And if you look back at the story, something strange happened. Even though Zechariah was a great guy, the Bible says he sassed that angel. Did you catch that? The Bible says he said, "We're old and well stricken in years." The funny thing about that is anybody here stricken in years? Think about that phrase. The years have smote you, right? We used to carry Christmas trees, no big deal. I'm 43. I'm hurting, right? I mean, there are parts of me I didn't know could hurt that are hurting, right? I'm stricken in years. So anyway, he said, "We're old." And the Bible says Gabriel said to him, "You're going to be, because you didn't believe me, you're going to be dumb. We would call it mute. You're not going to be able to say a word until these things come to pass." Teach you to sass an angel, huh? I mean, be with me. He said, "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God." In other words, who do you think you are with that kind of attitude? I brought you good tidings and you disrespected the angel. Boom, no words for you, right? Unbelievable. Anyway, as we look at the story, the Bible teaches us that time passed. His wife did get pregnant. Hey, you know, what did Fat Albert say? Hey, right? And she was going to bring forth the baby. Look with me in verse number 59. It's very important. In verse 59, it says, "And it came to pass on the eighth day after John was born, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father." They were proud for him. He was an old guy. He wanted to have kids, and he finally had one, right? "Call him Zacharias." And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, how would he have him called? In other words, the mom said, "He's John." But back in those days, that didn't really matter that much. They said, "Well, what does dad say? What are we going to call him?" And the Bible says, verse 63 and 64, imperative. The Bible says, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all." Watch what happened. You call him John. Zechariah obeyed, named him John. The Bible said, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." In other words, the plan began to take place. The Savior is coming. The Savior is coming. This child became famous, this John the Baptist. Watch what Zechariah said. Verse 68, "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Verse 69, "And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Look with me in verse 76, "And thou, child," talking about John, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Anybody in here had a light shine into your darkness before? Anybody in this place had God step into your life? John the Baptist began this play. Who is next? Do you remember who is next? Mary was the next who was told. And the angel showed up to her and gave her those compliments. "Hail, you're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was troubled at his saying. She didn't get that. And he told her to calm down. And as her heart, he told her, "Fear not." And as her heart began to calm down just a little bit more, the Bible says he launched into the greatest plan ever. He said, "You shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name" what? Jesus. First time we hear that. "You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great." By the time the angel was done, he said, "And his kingdom shall have no end." In other words, he is the king of forever. Unbelievable. Do you know what happened in Mary's life? She didn't get past the first part. "You shall conceive," right? She said, basically, I don't know how it works up there, but down here you can't make pancakes without pancake mix, right? How can this be, seeing I know not a man, right? I don't know what's going on. But she didn't have doubting, she just didn't understand, right? And so when the angel began to clarify to her, look at Elizabeth, who had this child in old age, you know what she said? She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." In other words, she said, "I am in." And with that, more of the plan became unveiled. By the end, she is praising the Lord, and she is saying, "He that is mighty hath done great things to me." You don't miss the relationship that Jesus had with Mary. Do you remember the first miracle that Jesus Christ did when he turned the water into wine? Do you know why he did that miracle? Watch it. They ran out of wine. His mother said, "We have no wine." And he said back to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." You won't sense anything but resistance in that passage. Jesus was saying, "I don't want to be involved in this." But the next thing you know, what's going on? Jesus is making wine. Why is that? I think Mary gave him a look, right? Did your mama have a look, right? Mama wants some wine. No scholar could ever disagree with that. You parse those words all you want. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." But the next thing you know, he is making wine. Why? Because his precious mama wanted it. And when he hung on that cross, the Bible says he told John to take care of her. She jumped in and she found joy, and the plan of God began to unfold. Don't miss Joseph's contribution. Joseph doesn't get to say anything, but he obeyed God. You know what Joseph did? The Bible says Joseph took Jesus Christ on the run and he went to Egypt. He left his business. Can you imagine, men who own your own business, leaving the area of your business? That's difficult, right? He left his business, he left his contacts, he left his family, and he went on the run. After Herod died, the angel told him that he could move into Nazareth, and that was to be fulfilled by the prophet. So he obeyed. You know what Joseph could say? "All the days of my watch, that child was safe. All the days of my watch, I was the protector of the King of Forever, and on my watch that child was saved. Can I tell you something? I think it was a kindness to Joseph that he was dead before the crucifixion, because he could say, not on my watch they didn't get him. I protected him, and I carried the course, and he fulfilled the plan. You remember the shepherds. The Bible says, the angel said, you shall find the babe. They went on mission looking for it. They returned glorifying and praising God. You remember the wise men? They followed a star obediently, and when they were warned to go a different way, they obeyed, and more of the plan began to be opened as people obeyed the Lord. Can I ask you a question? What if Zechariah called John Zechariah? Huh? What if he called him? You know that last speech Zechariah gave? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he prophesied. And all of that would have been missed. All of that would have been missed. As you and I consider this Christmas tree, by the way, give it up for the branches of my Christmas tree. Strong branches hanging on, right? Give it up. Anyway, as you consider the Christmas story and the great act of love that God gave in sending His Son to rescue us, understand that even that tremendous act of God had to be carried out by obedient people, had to be carried out by people obeying God. Young people, if you don't follow through with this, you will miss out on what God has for you in your life. You just will. If you don't follow through and do what God has told you to do, you're not going to have the moments where God sweeps into your path and finds you and works in your life. All of these characters had joy. Do you think the wise men ever regretted? Man, that was a long journey. No, it was the joy of their life. They knew God had gone in His treasure box and took out the best thing and gave us Jesus. And then Jesus had gone in His treasure box and took out the best thing and gave His life. And they knew good and well they better go in their treasure box. And they busted out gold and frankincense and myrrh. And if you see these things, this plan is only working because these people are obedient people. Can I ask you, in your life, is God telling you to do something? Can I ask you, is God telling you to do something? I hadn't intended to tell this story, and I'll just tell you a cool thing, how God works. I'm tired. I won't lie to you. The tree lot has grown into a monster. Yesterday, the tree lot topped $50,000 in profit. Can you believe that? $50,000. Our very first year, we took in about $12,000, right? And we made about six. Our first day this year, we took in $19,000, right? You know what I mean? The things that God tells you to do, you should just jump up and do. But I'm tired. I'm tired as a dog. I won't lie to you. I've been working, going. And typically, right after Christmas time, I will take a week off. And my wife and I have been fortunate to borrow somebody's condo. And we'll go for a week and just recover. And this year, a church in Bowden, Georgia called me and said, Brian, we feel like God wants you to come preach on the 29th. And I thought to myself, I can't do that. I am too tired. I'm so sorry. But as I began to phrase how I would turn that church down, the Lord convicted my heart. I'm talking about like took you out to the woodshed, like, oh, no, you ain't big boy, right? And after I booked that appointment, I was fearful of how that would be received, you know. But she did great. But anyway, my point is, I was just so tired. And Darlene will tell you the truth. I was saying to Miss Darlene and to others, you know, it's obvious to me that the Lord is not as concerned about my rest and my downtime as I am. And He just wants me to work. And I wasn't besmirching the Lord. I was just saying, I'm tired and I need a break, but God wants me to work. Last Sunday morning, we went to a church. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And a lady walked up and said, I have a gift for you. And God told me to give it to you, but I got to give it to you with your wife with you. And I said, well, okay, that's unusual. And at that church, they give the kids $25 gifts and that kind of thing. And she said, the Lord told me to do this. And so we went down to the corner of the room, and I'm just dog tired. I'm thinking, God doesn't really care about my rest. And she says, there are two envelopes in this thing, and you have got to open them up one at a time. And so as I began to open them up, people in the church began to gather around. I started thinking, well, this is strange, you know. I kind of hate that because you got to act like, yeah, even if it's like a weed eater, you know, yeah. Anyway, so I'm like, open it up. Envelope number one has a check in it for $300 and a picture of a passport. And it says, you need to buy a passport and take this money to do it. Envelope number two says, where in the world would you like to go that you can take a one-week cruise? Because I really would like to send you to Alaska. Could you do that? Only question is, you want to take your kids or you not want to take your kids? That lady paid for, she said, God Almighty told her last month to book my wife in a cruise. She paid airfare to Seattle. She paid a cruise to Washington. She paid me to Alaska. She paid cruise back from there. She paid airfare back, rides from the thing. Oh, do we have an amazing God? Do we have an amazing God? Should we be obedient? Should we be obedient? Shouldn't we follow God and let Him demonstrate His strength in our lives? I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome, right? You know what I mean? God's good. I'm glad I obeyed. I'm so glad I obeyed. I could be sitting in some other place on the 29th, but I'm glad I'm going to be preaching. Lord, I love You today. I thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Lord, that You open doors for us that we can choose to obey. And when we do, we see precious, precious things. And as these young people find their way to the stage to sing a song to You, I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's somebody in here who needs to straighten something up. I remember Miss Ginger said she got saved in a youth program. If there's somebody in this place that needs to straighten something up with You, maybe they don't know You, the Savior of the world. Maybe eternal life is not yet theirs. I pray that they'd find their way to this place today. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in this place that You've been telling to do something and they've been hesitant. And I pray that they'd commit today to follow through. And as the pastor takes over, I pray You'd give them wisdom. In Jesus' holy and powerful name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, your answer is the